A quick programming note, mostly for our loyalist listeners who download, stream, or have episodes of Ann Arbor Stories hand-delivered to them every 2 weeks on secure thumb drives. Other than a brief holiday break last year, we haven't missed a deadline. But a lot of things have happened in the last month or so for Brian and me, exciting and positive things. That also means we're a little burned out, and rather than slog through until our planned hiatus next month, we're going to take a break a little early to recharge, refocus, and ensure that the next season of Ann Arbor Stories is better than ever. No promises, because I haven't told Brian about this yet, but we might still sneak in a Thanksgiving and a year-end episode before those calendars get recycled. But this definitely isn't goodbye. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Ann Arbor Stories to get the latest news about the podcast, or keep your subscriptions active, and it'll be a pleasant surprise when we come back into your lives. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and lucky you, you'll be hearing from me again soon. This is Ann Arbor Stories. I'm Rich Reddy. This is the story of Thomas Clarkson Trueblood, the first golf coach at the University of Michigan, one of the most respected orators in the world during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and noted professor of lovemaking. Trueblood was born April 6, 1856 in Salem, Indiana, and earned his Master's of Arts degree from Earlham College in 1878. His specialty was oration. From the Greeks to the Romans to the Lincoln-Douglas debates, humankind has always appreciated a good public speaker, and Trueblood was really good. So good that right after graduation, he co-founded the Fulton and Trueblood School of Oratory in Kansas City and built it into one of the largest and best-known oratory colleges in America. The University of Michigan recognized his excellence and invited Trueblood to Ann Arbor as a guest lecturer, asking him to craft a 6-week course on oration for the student body. Trueblood packed a few bags and took the train to Ann Arbor, where he spent the fall of 1884 lecturing. He was a hit, and the university asked him back, then offered him a faculty position, which he accepted. Trueblood created oratory classes that were both popular and useful to the student body. By 1892, Trueblood established the UM Department of Elocution and Oratory, which was the first of its kind in the country. He became the highest paid professor on campus, and his introductory elocution course was made mandatory for all U of M freshmen. On the side, Trueblood organized debate and oratory contests at Michigan and throughout the Midwest, training teams that competed against squads from the University of Chicago, Oberlin, Northwestern, and Iowa. He also traveled the world giving speeches and dramatic readings in front of packed audiences. If those things didn't keep him busy enough, Trueblood also founded the UM golf team after taking up the sport late in life. He was always an avid tennis player and regularly won the U of M Faculty Tennis Championship, but his doctor warned him that tennis was too hard on his body, so Trueblood started golfing instead. 3 months after picking up a club for the first time, Trueblood won the Ann Arbor Golf Club Championship, then started a club team at U of M, coaching his first crop of student athletes in 1901. Golf wouldn't become a varsity sport until 1921, with Trueblood still at the helm, and they wouldn't win their first national championship in 1934. The second came the next year, in 1935. Trueblood would coach until he was 80 years old, spending 67 years of his life at the University of Michigan. Yet, when you're done listening to this story, none of these details will be the first thing you think about when you hear the name Thomas Clarkson Trueblood. In fact, you'll likely forget the name Thomas Clarkson Trueblood altogether, replacing it in your mind with the slightly catchier alias, Professor Foxy Truesport. This middle chapter of Trueblood's story, starts with a U of M freshman named Henry Jameson Handy, known as Jam Handy to his friends. These names, am I right? Handy came to Ann Arbor from Chicago with dreams much bigger than his 4'11", 89-pound frame. He was an amazing swimmer who introduced the U.S. to the front crawl and would eventually win a bronze medal at the 1904 St. Louis Olympics. While studying and swimming, Handy also signed on as a correspondent for the Chicago Tribune. That's where this story intersects with True Blood, dang it. Handy was enrolled in True Blood's oratory course, and on this day, the professor was employing one of a number of masterful passages he'd collected over the years to emphasize different kinds of oratory. Today's lesson was on passages that illustrated aspirate, explosive forms of speech. The scene came from a play in which a man kneels before a woman pleading for her hand in marriage, distraught that she is unreceptive to the proposal. Professor Trueblood demonstrated what he was looking for and really laid into it, pronouncing his love and undying affection on bended knee to one of the students in the front row. Using every tool in the oratory toolbox to win this freshman's hand in fake marriage, Trueblood was really good at this. Somewhere in that classroom, Handy scribbled furiously in his notebook. The final product, published May 8, 1903, on the front page of the Chicago Tribune, bore the headline, "Learn Sly Cupid's Tricks. Students at Ann Arbor take lessons in lovemaking." The piece read in part, quote, "Professor Trueblood, in order to stimulate interest among students with spring fever, gives instructions on how to propose. Kneels before fair co-eds and pleads in passion tones for their hands. Able to give points to young pupils." The next day, the Chicago Record Herald printed a 3-panel cartoon of a man identified as Professor Foxy Truesport, teaching a class how to properly make love. The story was picked up by newspapers across the country as far as Utah. The Salt Lake Tribune wrote, quote, "The University of Michigan has added a new course to the curriculum, one that may best be styled a course in lovemaking. Professor Trueblood is the inventor of the novel scheme, and his course, which has been hitherto shunned as one of the toughest at the university, now seems likely to become the most popular on campus. Early this week, he hit upon the successful plan, and now the many visitors who attend his classes are spectators of thrilling love scenes. 50 times a day, Professor Trueblood is forced to kneel to some maiden and show his pupils the right way to declare their devotion to their sweethearts. Each budding orator takes his place before a blushing maid, and no matter how smoothly the pair may have progressed, in private, the professor finds some fault with the public demonstration. No, kneel on both knees. Now hold her hand. It impresses her more so. And the old professor again kneels and goes through it all over again." End quote. Trueblood was mortified by the coverage, and U of M president James Angel was furious that his star professor was being unfairly slandered. People across the country wrote Professor Trueblood in the university, expressing outrage, amazement, or just to stick a thumb in the eye of that school in Ann Arbor. When Angel summoned Handy to his office, the president was not pleased. UM faculty voted to unanimously suspend Handy for a year for, quote, "publishing false and injurious statements affecting the character of the work of one of the professors." Trueblood left town for a bit while the story died down. Handy went on to become that champion swimmer and ended up in public relations. He started the Jam Handy organization in 1911, eventually setting up shop at 2900 East Grand Boulevard in Detroit to be close to his biggest client, General Motors. He did groundbreaking work in the field of instructional videos, employing huge staffs and first-rate talent to create groundbreaking videos primarily for the auto industry, but also producing more than 25,000 instructional videos for various government agencies and the U.S. military. The Jam Handy building, where it all started, still exists today, serving as a historic event space for weddings and cool cocktail parties Brian and I would like to be invited to. Handy never returned to the University of Michigan. Angel and Trueblood saw to that. Trueblood continued to teach and coach, won those national championships, traveled and spoke, and in 1921 was honored with the formation of the Trueblood Fund, later renamed the Trueblood Fellowship, open to U of M students majoring in screen, arts, and cultures at U of M. A theater in the old Freeze building on campus was named after him, until it was raised in 2006 to make room for North Quad. Trueblood died in 1951 at the age of 95, having accomplished more than any young man from Indiana with a Master's of Arts degree could have dreamed of. But it's still really hard not to think of him as Professor Foxy Truesport. Damn you, Jam Handy. Damn you to heck. Ann Arbor Stories is presented by Rumble Pack Media in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library. This episode was written and performed by me, Rich Reddy, with sound and audio engineering by Brian Peters. Thanks again to the AADL and their archive staff, who do an amazing job digitizing old newspaper clippings and photos from Ann Arbor's past. You should visit oldnews.aadl.org and get lost in their work someday. Email us at annarborstories@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing, or follow along on Twitter and Instagram @AnnArborStories. Thanks again for listening.